Well, it doesn't force anybody to do anything. But when the last chapter is written, you'll find out who's right. I mean, God's revelation lays down the terrible truth. He turns something loose, eternal and immortal. There is no immortality of the soul. That's why in the primitive methods, in world frames where idealism rules and theory of knowledge, they end up in pantheism. And all life is part of this sea of foci of relationships. Christianity, properly taught, teaches individuality and the importance of you. I can't stand a preacher who says, if you don't do it, God's got somebody else. No, He hasn't. There will never be another you in eternity. You are unique. And Christianity teaches you find your relationship with God, you are fulfilled. And your destiny, I'm in training for eternity. Don't give me a heaven with clouds and harps, I can't. Now, I've talked you off phones, I hope. My turn. Go to Jasher. This officer of Titus, when the holy city of Jerusalem was plundered by the Romans some 40 years after the crucifixion of Christ, found in Jerusalem a house of great extent, took away all the spoils which he found there. When he wished to go out of the house, he looked at the wall and fancied that he saw treasures there, so he broke down the wall and the building and found a cask full of various books. Books of the law, the prophets, Hagiographa, also books of the kings of Israel and the kings of other nations, together with the books of the Mishnah, many rolls were also lying there, and he also found there all sorts of provision and wine in abundance. Just think of that. Books and wine. What else does a man need? Wine, books, wine in abundance. Discovered an old man sitting there who was reading in those books. Boy, he was going to die happy, wasn't he? When the officer saw this great sight, he was greatly astonished. He said to the old man, "Why dost thou sit alone in this place?" Now, I'm not reading from the book of Jasher. This is the Hebrew preface to it, explaining the finding of the book. You say, well, why can't I find this in the King James? Because it's not there. When the officer saw this great sight, he was greatly astonished and said to the old man, "Why dost thou sit alone in this place without any person remaining with thee?" So the old man answered, "For many years past was I aware of this second destruction of Jerusalem, so I built this house and made for myself a balcony. And I brought with me these books to read, and I brought also sufficient provision, thinking thereby to save my life. And God caused the old man to find favor in the eyes of the officer, who brought him forth with respect with all of his books. And they went from city to city and from country to country until they reached Sevilla. And the officer found that this old man was possessed of wisdom and understanding and acquainted with various kinds of science, upon discovering which he raised and honored him, was constantly in his house, and was taught by him all sorts of wisdom. And they built for themselves a lofty and capacious house in the suburbs of Sevilla, and placed there all those books. Now this house, at the time of the writing of this preface, is yet in Sevilla unto this day, and they wrote there all the events that would hereafter take place amongst the kings of the world unto the coming of our Messiah. Came to pass that when God carried us away with a mighty captivity by the hands of the kings of Edom, from city to city and from country to country in bitter anxiety, this book called The Generations of Adam, together with other books, came into our hands. For they came from the house in Sevilla, and they came afterward to our great city, Napoli, which city is under the sway of the king of Spain. whose glory may be exalted. And when we saw these books, that they were books of all wisdom, we resolved in our minds to print them, like all the books that came to our hands. Now this book is the best and most valuable of all. And of this book, 12 copies have reached us, and we searched in them and found them all of one copy. There was no difference, nothing added, nothing deficient, nor any alteration in letters, words, or events, for they were all alike as if it were one copy. Since, therefore, we saw in this book great merit urging us this resolve, we are determined to print it. It is found that this book is called the Book Jasher, because all its transactions are in that order as they had taken place in the world as regards priority and succession. Thou wilt not find in this book any postponement of events that were anterior or priority of those that were posterior, but everything is recorded in its place and time. I never said about it. I want to leave that right there. Now, I haven't gone back for some time to Peter Tompkins' book on the pyramid. Now, I've given you, and if you don't have it, you can ask for it tonight, E. Raymond Capt, The Great Pyramid Decoded. I want you to have it so you can check all the charts and the graphs. Some of you will remember one night we read about 7 hours from Tompkins' Secrets of the Great Pyramid as we raced through it. He's the one that took us on that exciting trip with the Arabs wading through the Bat Dung. That you'll remember. I never did take you in Tompkins' chapter to who built the pyramid, when, and how. We never have come to that question yet, have we? It would be satisfactory to be able to describe the method by which the Great Pyramid... If you don't know what I'm talking about, you should have been listening. Just grab the saddle horn, you'll catch up. It would be satisfactory to be able to describe the method by which the Great Pyramid was put together, by whom and when. But the builders, whoever they may have been, left no description of their method. No one has even found a later Egyptian report of how the first pyramids were built. I remember when we started out, I asked the question, who built it? Did it survive the flood? Was there a flood? Now, Egypt's ancient biblical name is Mizraim. You trace that word to its roots, it's an ancient word that means builder of dikes or holder back of the waters. Anybody that knows the history of Egypt knows that the most ancient sources tell you Lower Egypt was marshy and covered with water. The earliest ruler of Egypt most likely received his descriptive name because his word means the ones who one his name means the one who drove the sea back. Now, was that Ham? Poor old Ham, cursed because he was the first peeping Tom, the first gossip, trying to restore himself. Did Ham build the pyramid? I am totally convinced that great, wondrous empire with no forts on Crete, that marvelous civilization dug up by Evans that was destroyed in a day, he postulated earthquakes, was none other than Noah's home base. You read your Babylonian epic of the flood, Gilgamesh. He goes seeking the father of the family that survived the flood, who can tell him, he believes, the secret of eternal life. And in the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is the Babylonian flood epic, you know my view, the people who do not believe in the Hebrew Christian tradition say this somehow proves that one borrowed from the other, so neither one is divine. My assumption, straight out of Pauline theology, is God picked a man he could trust, Abram, made him an oracle, and to those people revealed the true story. But if all races have a common heritage and experience, then they will have their derivative myths having the same root truth without the oracle protection of God who picked the people that were His oracle to protect the true revelation. So my position is clear. Biblical report is the accurate one. All the others do is support the solid basis of truth from which the true story of the Bible grows. The others are modified in much telling. Now, when they dug up that great library in the Euphrates Valley and the Gilgamesh epic was uncovered, the world was astir. And Gilgamesh is none other than Nimrod of the Bible. Seeking the answer to life, he goes looking for the father of the race that survived the flood, the family. He comes to a territory of modern Lebanon, gets involved with a prostitute. Now, there are people who are just going to break clay tablets till they get that portion of the story. She tells him where the father of the race is, and it involves him getting in a boat and heading straight westward into the Mediterranean. Now, it makes a lot of sense to me that ancient civilization that Evans dug up in Crete had no fortifications. That's what amazes the archaeologists, until they discovered it was protected by the greatest fleet the world then knew. Well, man, if there ever was a boat builder, Noah was it. And he kept it up, settling on Crete, his sons settling in various places, the three sphinxes in one place that have the so-called heads of the earliest shepherd kings share the tradition of Shem coming and killing Ham. And it is in the Egyptian mythology. They have different names for it. The war between the brothers. That is nothing but that historic tradition of Shem killing Ham and returning to Jerusalem and building the city of Jerusalem. And he resurfaces as Melchizedek, the one to whom Abram pays tithes in the Old Testament. Now, did Ham, while he was in Egypt, build the pyramid? He's some people's candidate. Shem is another candidate. But if the dating's accurate, and if the dating of the flood's accurate, and all you got to do is read Worlds and Collisions and know all the so-called archaeological dating formulas work, as all science works, only if everything has always progressed at the same speed, the same way. That's not for sure. But if the pyramid was built before the flood, who built it? No modern Bechtel Corporation couldn't build the pyramid. There is no way any modern organization could build the pyramid. Can't be done. Anybody tells you it can't, ask them five questions you've learned from me. You'll find them study the pyramid. Nobody could build that pyramid and embrace all of the elements. There is no cement in the world. There is no machine in the world that can place some of those blocks in an area where five or six men had to work. Oh, superficial looks at the pyramid. Think it's just some megalomaniac's tomb. Except there's no body in it. Never was. Who built it? Well, now, the Egyptian Book of the Dead was discovered long after the pyramid was opened, long after Menzies and Taylor and others began to propound their Christian theories, long after the prophetic pattern of the world's history was thought to be embraced in those descending and ascending passages of the pyramid. Then the Egyptian Book of the Dead suddenly is dug up, and it's called that because they were scrolls buried with the mummies. And they were buried with the mummies because they contained the secrets of continuing the life toward immortality. The Pyramid Book of the Dead the Egyptian Book of the Dead looked on the pyramid as outlining the prophetic journey of the soul and the answer that comes through Messiah or Deliverer. They call it the Pillar of Enoch. They say Enoch built it. Now, who's Enoch? That's another book that is not in the King James. And yet when Jude says, he quotes Christ coming with 10,000 of his saints, he's quoting the apocryphal book of Enoch. Enoch was supposed to live 365 years. And he was not, for God took him. Where? We read the Bible through in 62. I grew up around people that figure when you read the Bible, you lay your head on the table. I don't know why they don't wind up a glass eye and just make it spin. Mechanically turn the pages. I read these things, I say, where'd God take him to? Who built this pyramid? Lacking solid history, the Arabs and the Jews of the Middle East proliferated legend. The most ancient tradition about the Great Pyramid is that it was erected to memorialize a tremendous cataclysm in the planetary system, which affected the globe with fire and flooding. Now, Josephus, as I've already said in the first century, said the Sethites, that's the brother of Cain, the next son born after Abel was killed, that the Sethites, the descendants of Seth, built two monuments. One of them, of stone, Josephus said, still existed in the land of Syriac to this day, that's Egypt, who deified the dog star as leader and as Messiah or deliverer. The most ancient tradition about the Great Pyramid is that it was erected to memorialize a tremendous cataclysm. Arab authors recount that the pyramids were built before the deluge by a king who had a vision that the world would be turned upside down and that the stars would fall from the sky. Where do these myths come from? Somebody eat some bad fish? According to these Arab sources, the king placed in the pyramids accounts of all he had learned from the wisest men of the time, including the secrets of astronomy, complete with tables of stars, geometry and physics, treatises on precious stones and certain machines. The earliest Jewish reports, other than the vague reference in the Bible to pillars of stone, is in Josephus, who says the Sethites were inventors of a wisdom which dealt with celestial bodies and their order in the heavens, and that to preserve their wisdom for all mankind, they built two monuments, one brick, the other stone, the stone one being still extant in Egypt in Josephus' time during the first century after Christ. The Arab legends maintain that the pyramid not only contained representations of positions of the stars in their cycles, but also a history and chronicle of the times past and future. There's a third source of that belief, not limited to that Scotsman who thought it up, or Davidson, who went down to prove that there was no such prophetic pattern in the pyramid and ended up being a Christian because of it. As to who built the Great Pyramid, Arab historians such as Ibrahim bin Ibn Wasuf Shah say that the Giza pyramids were built by an antediluvian king called Surid, or Sarid, who saw in a dream a huge planet falling to earth at the time when the heart of the lion would reach the first minute of the head of Cancer. And where did those doggone people get their knowledge of that white dwarf? All this ties together. If I stay on TV and radio long enough, I'll reach the intersection. If you haven't been listening, the Mali tribe in Africa, French anthropologists found among the doggones and three other tribes of people whose entire religious liturgy was built around a star that they said was the smallest in the heavens. Their religious liturgical calendar was built around a 50-year cycle because this smallest yet heaviest star took 50 years to go around Sirius, the dog star. Man, it's a modern discovery by an astronomer who got irritated when he noticed that the dog star Sirius wobbled. And he concluded it could only wobble because of gravitational pull of something he didn't see that was so heavy it would make the star wobble. Sirius B is a recent discovery. Discovered because of deducing from that wobble that it was there. It's now charted. Modern discovery. It's a white dwarf. That too is a modern discovery. Such a dense star, if you were to stand on it, you'd be flatter than a pancake. A matchbox of its matter weighs as much as this earth. And it's got a 50-year orbit. These doggone people had it chartered in their liturgy with an orbit that was oval. How did they know that star was there? Now, they claim a guy from the land of the fishes came down to earth, like chariot of gods. A guy from the land of the fishes came down, taught them all this. But you trace their ancestors, it leads you right back to the pyramid. Where do all these stories come from? Huh? Now, who built the pyramid? Well, the famous traveler Ibn Battuta, writing 730 years after Hegira, says that Hermes, you know who Hermes is? How many of you know your mythology? He is the equivalent of the Hebrew Enoch. Hermes and Enoch. Simple as that. Having ascertained from the appearance of the stars that the deluge would take place, built the pyramids to contain books of science and knowledge and other matters worth preserving from oblivion and ruin. The Egyptian Book of the Dead says Enoch built it. He lived 365 years, and that's the number that's built into the pyramid. 365. Now, what's it got to do with Jasher? Well, Jasher tells me more about Enoch than Genesis does. You know, Jasher tells me more about Noah, too. I never have figured out what in the world he was doing with those animals in that ark. Doesn't make sense. You know, there's all that in there, and you pet them once and feed them, say, sleep now, till the rain stop. You ought to read the book of Jasher if you want a scary story of living on that ark during the flood. Chapter 3 of the book of Jasher gives me some details on Enoch. Can we get a lot of these, Joe? Where's Shai? Where's Cortez? Go ask him if we can buy these. Would you like to have a book of Jasher? The right one, not that phony one. We'll see. We'll see. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. He had a, you know what Methuselah means? When he dies, the end will come. How would you like to really believe in God and have a kid and have God say, now when that one dies, the end of the world? There ain't no kid in the world going to get treated like that kid. I mean, every time he has the croup, it's about over, folks. And Enoch lived. Now, you think about it. The Bible's got a lot of common sense in it. The only guy before the flood that was so righteous that God just took him somewhere was Enoch. I would be too if God gave me a kid and said, when he dies, that's the end of the world, friend. I'd be the straightest walking dad this world ever saw. And Enoch lived 65 years, begat... Well, I'm just getting started, and it's 10:30. Will you be there tomorrow night? I'm going home. I've been at this 2 hours and a half. That's enough for any night. I'm going home. Right there. I'm going home.